The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, why would a radio talk show host pick a light topic on a week when there are so many heavy things going on in the news? Well, my friend, yes, there are many things going on in the world which should cause us great concern. I'm as concerned as anybody else. If you listen to this program regularly, that should be rather obvious. And if you turned in today curious to hear my latest take on what's going on with ISIS and what's going on with terror attacks, you can read all about it in my latest online column, Forbidden Table Talk. But for today on the radio, I am going to continue a path that you'll recall I chose last week. While I have certainly done many radio shows in the past about militant Islam, the whole idea behind terrorism is to instill fear and upset our way of life. That's why people call themselves terrorists. So we won't upset our way of life today because that gives into them, that emboldens them. In fact, last week when I did the show one day after Paris, or I guess 2 days after Paris, it had started Friday, I had planned to continue my series on spiritual gifts. So that's what I did. And this week, we had planned a long, long time ago to do a special show about Disney World in Florida and how it compares to Disneyland here in Southern California. And so we will. We'll return to the news, but not today, at a time when I choose, because we maintain control over our lives despite the attempts of other people to control them for us. Our choices, we make them ourselves. We make them in spite of depressing world events. In fact, the more depressing the news, the more important it is at times to stop and smell the roses once in a while. And so, instead of a bunch of troublesome news, we instead have two special guests today. One of them is no stranger to the Bob Siegel Show, our board op, Nick Lane. But we also have another guest. And here to introduce both of them is a woman special in her own right, the beautiful, the enchanting, the shining, the sparkling. She slices, she dices, Dana Siegel.
Wow. I don't even know what to say after that, but thank you so much. So happy to be here, especially because of the topic today. It's a really exciting topic. And
it's going to be a Dana land someday.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Yeah. I would love. Oh, you've got a thought there. Let's work on that. Okay. So today we will be talking about Disneyland and Disney World. And Nick is the fabulous board operator that helps us keeps this show going. Yeah, you are fabulous, Nick, no matter what we throw at him or what Bob comes in with.
And he's on double duty today because he's doing the board and he's on.
Yeah, and he's on the show.
Go on.
So he is awesome. But most importantly, he has brought his lovely wife today, Lauren. She is here in the studio with us. And we have asked them to be on the show with us because they just returned from their honeymoon in Disney World as well, which is really funny. And it's fun because Nick and Lauren met in a communications class, a radio class at Palomar. Yeah. They were a couple for many, many years and then got married a year ago and saved up. And they just returned from their delayed honeymoon trip. And Bob and I just got back about a month ago from our delayed honeymoon trip as well. And we both went to Disney World. So we thought it'd be a really fun show because we are all fans of Disneyland.
So if you get married and delay your honeymoon, you can go to Disney World too.
That seems
exactly
to be the trend.
That does seem to be the trend. So today we are going to be talking about that with Nick and Lauren. So we're excited. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. All right. So the first thing, let's just get this out of the way. Which do we prefer, Disneyland or Disney World? So we'll just go around, everybody. Chime in. What do you think? What's your preference?
Go ahead, Sweets.
Disneyland is my favorite out of the two. Love Disney World, but Disneyland's my favorite.
I would have to agree with you. It was fascinating seeing it, but the whole time I was there, I kept thinking, I just want to go back home to my Disneyland. I know where everything is.
How we feel, yeah.
That was absolutely my thought process, too.
Oh, okay, good. Guys, what do you think?
I prefer Disneyland, and I don't know. I don't know if it's because that's just what I'm used to. And in fact, I actually think that's part of it. It's what I'm used to. I can navigate through it easier. It's what I know better. But the fact that it's smaller, I like better. I'll just get that out of the way right now.
There we go.
Walt Disney World is huge.
It is huge.
I knew it was big. It was bigger than what I was expecting. Man, oh man, it really is. Disneyland is just so, like, Disneyland is not small. It is minuscule compared to Walt Disney World.
It is.
It's insane. So, yeah, I prefer Disneyland for those reasons.
Yeah, and when you think about the fact that Disneyland has 400, Disneyland and California Adventure together have 400 acres, and Disney World has 30,000 acres, which is almost eight times, you know. I actually felt overwhelmed. The first day or two, I felt overwhelmed, and Bob even said, do we need to go back to the hotel? So, and I'm not a person who gets anxious, or I just got overwhelmed at the size and the unfamiliarity. And then, but wait, this I know from Disneyland, but it's in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And
yeah. There was a lot of, wow, this is familiar yet weird at the same time. Just how things were laid out at Magic Kingdom in particular.
Yeah.
Our whole
experience at Magic Kingdom was basically that. Right from the moment where we stepped foot on Main Street, it was almost like we'd stepped into an alternate universe because things were familiar, but yet not all the same. Yeah, exactly.
And
we walk into Adventureland and there's Pirates of the Caribbean. It was really weird.
Nothing was where it was supposed to be. Exactly. Everything was misplaced.
it was so strange. You look at Haunted Mansion, it looks completely different, and it's in this strange place called Liberty Square. I have no idea what this is, and it was weird.
That is true. You're right. So that's true. Bob, we didn't hear from you. What do you think?
Well, I was told by everybody who grew up on Disneyland that they liked it better. So I was prepared for that. I was wondering if it was going to be one of those things where, because my expectations of Disney World were lowered, that I wouldn't feel that way. I would say, short answer, yes, I do love Disneyland more. And it probably is because I grew up on it. Now, if I started comparing things pound for pound and inch for inch, though, it depends. Magic Kingdom is the part that's most reminiscent of Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I did like Disneyland better than that. If I were going to take the idea that here in Anaheim, they're starting to stretch out and have multiple theme parks like California Adventure, which at one time I couldn't stand, but I like much better now.
They changed.
If I were going to compare Epcot, if I were going to compare Epcot Center with California Adventure, California Adventure doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. If I'm going to compare Magic Kingdom to Disneyland, different. So it depends on what part of the park we're talking about.
Yeah, if you do it pound for pound, if you compare part from part, part to part, it's a lot harder.
And if you compare three additional theme parks to one additional theme park, that's, well, you know.
You know, you bring up California Adventure, and one of the things that I immediately thought of was California Adventure, in a way, was almost not so much Animal Kingdom, although there are elements of Animal Kingdom, like Tough to Be a Bug is over there. Mm-hmm. But really, it's kind of a combination of Hollywood Studios.
Yes,
it is.
And a little bit of all of them. It's kind
you
of...
Get, yeah, if you, yeah. Go to, if you go to the Muppet Show, well, when they had the Muppet Show at California, or if you go to Tower of Terror, you're experiencing things you could experience at Disney Hollywood.
Right.
And they have Star Tours in our Disneyland, but Star Tours there is in Disney Hollywood. So you do get bits and pieces of the other theme parks in California Adventure.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite theme park of the four? So if we just were to talk about Disney World, which one is your favorite one of those four main ones? And for people that haven't been there, there's a Magic Kingdom. There is the Disney Hollywood Studios, which is, as Bob was just naming, a collection of some of the things from Disneyland. We have the Animal Kingdom, which is a whole nother thing. It's hard to describe. And then Epcot, of course, which everybody knows about, and the whole world thing. So of those four, what do you guys think? What's your favorite of those four?
My favorite, it was hard to say because there are certain parts of Epcot called the World Showcase, which is amazing. And you could just spend days in that part of the park. so detail oriented. But when I was really thinking about it, my favorite out of the four parks was the Magic Kingdom. And that could go back to the familiarity. That's the closest that you're going to get to Disneyland. But there's nothing that can replace my memory of going down Main Street there and not seeing Sleeping Beauty Castle, but seeing Cinderella Castle. It's like a postcard. It was amazing. And I just really loved Magic Kingdom over there. I would love to say Epcot, but if I really think about it, it was the Magic Kingdom.
Magic
for sure.
Kingdom for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I think mine, I liked Hollywood Studios, and I don't know why. I'm fascinated with the film industry and all of that. I always think that's always fantastic. I love, you know, the back lots and the stunt shows and how they produce things. I think that's always amazing. So for me, at least on this trip, I thought Hollywood Studios was my favorite. But Nick, what do you think?
I fell head over heels in love with World Showcase at Epcot.
Yeah.
I did not want to leave. And the fact that we went to Epcot twice. We spent about roughly, would you say, 3 hours at World Showcase the first time we went. And then we went in an additional four the last time. We still didn't see everything.
It's a lot.
It is
huge.
Absolutely huge. It was a park unto itself. And, and so we spent collectively 7 hours there, didn't see everything. And I wanted to see everything. And I think that to me, I know what she's talking about Magic Kingdom. I think we spent the most time there. But man, I love World Showcase. So Epcot is up. And on top of that, Spaceship Earth.
That was cool, yes.
Tremendous ride. If you're into dark rides, that was great.
Yeah,
so I got to say Epcot.
Okay, so Epcot. I think Bob's going to second that.
Absolutely Epcot. I loved all of them. So saying Epcot does, I'm not.
Oh yeah, I didn't dislike any of them.
And the Animal Park was interesting because first I thought, well, you know, if I had to choose one to not go to, we already have our Wild Animal Park, but they weren't even trying to be the Wild Animal Park.
No,
they did have a tram ride that doesn't compare to our Wild Animal Park at all. But folks, don't be deceived. If you go out there, it's not a Disney version of the zoo or Wild Animal Park. It's a Disney theme park with Disney rides with animal themes. And they have a few real honest-to-goodness animals thrown in.
Yeah.
And they had an awesome roller coaster there, which was kind of, they don't have the Magic Kingdom doesn't have everything that Disneyland does. They don't have the Matterhorn, but they have something like the Matterhorn. What was the, it was Mount Everest. Was it supposed to be Mount
Expedition Everest?
Mount Everest.
Yeah.
And they still have the Abominable Snowman theme, and you're riding along the roller coaster. And first I turned to Dana and I said, this is a slow, boring roller coaster. All of a sudden you get to the top and it looks like it's been broken off because the Abominable Snowman's been there, and then it goes backwards and then it flips in circles.
And that's what was an awesome. I didn't go on it.
Oh, it was awesome.
You have to like roller coaster. I still think California, much as I put down California Adventure, California Screaming is the best roller coaster I've ever been on. But
I've heard
this one at the Animal Park close second. But anyway, having said all of that, and some of my favorite rides that I experienced there were actually in Disney Hollywood. But because I'm not into just the rides, it's the decorum and the atmosphere. I just loved strolling through Europe, meeting people that are really from those countries. They really speak
those
languages.
That was an extra touch that I really liked. The cast members were from those particular countries.
And the other thing
was really cool.
The other thing, Nick, is it was more international because a lot of people who like to travel to Europe will live on the East Coast because that's half the distance of Europe already, and they can go to Europe. So there were a lot more Europeans there. And I mean, just in the park. I absolutely loved Epcot. If I lived there, I'd go to Epcot every day.
And one more thing before we go to break, I really have to bring up Animal Kingdom surprised the heck out of me. I was not expecting much out of Animal Kingdom at all. And I actually found, of the four parks, I found the theming of that park and the immersiveness of that park to be one of the best.
Most consistent.
Oh, yeah. I thought they did a tremendous job.
That Tree of Life was something.
That was
a thing to behold.
Dana's got to tell our Tree of Life story, though.
We'll tell that after the break.
Okay. All right. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, and we'll be right back.
My prince will come someday. We'll meet again, and away to his castle we'll go to be happy forever. I know.
Oh. Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said, or you got a friend in me.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and this is Dana Siegel joining Bob today as a co-host, and we have special guests here. Our wonderful board operator Nick and his wife are here to discuss Disney World with us. We both just returned from our belated honeymoons in the last month or so. And as we were going on a break, we were talking about the Animal Kingdom, an amazing place. And Nick, I think you're right. The theme of that park was more consistent than all the other ones, just really throughout the park. Anything animal was going on there, and it was really amazing. And in the middle of that park is this spectacular creation, the Tree of Life, which is man-made, with just the trunk is made up of just many, many different creatures and mm-hmm. animals. And
there's so many little details in
there.
Oh
my gosh.
You can't look at all of them, but even up close, you won't be able to.
No,
you can just stare at it for hours with all the detail on it.
Yes. Which we did. And it's funny because it's in the middle of the park. So you approach it several different ways as you're going throughout the park during the day. You're seeing it from lots of different angles the way they have it.
Right.
And I kept wanting to get close to it. We kept seeing it from a distance, like we're on a walkway going mm-hmm. over to Africa or wherever, or coming back from Dinosaur Land. And it's always off in the distance. So it was so funny. At the end of the day, I just wanted to see the Tree of Life up close. I kept seeing this thing from a distance. So we started on one side and started walking around and kept going into every little inlet that there was, going, okay, this will go up to it. No, it takes us back out. Okay, nope, it's just a little, look at a little underground thing, go back out. We did that around 3/4 of the tree. Finally, we get to the far side. And there's a Starbucks there, because now all of the Disneyland places have their Starbucks. And we go in.
Disney's Starbucks adventure.
Yes. And the guy was so funny, because like when I said, I'm not actually here to buy coffee, he looked so crushed. He was like, what? I said, I'm sorry. I said, I just want to get to the Tree of Life. Is there a path? Oh, no, we don't think you can get to. And I'm not kidding you. Several of the cast members got together and conferred. No one, they all, no, you
You're
can't
kidding.
See it. You just have to look at it from
wow.
a distance. We were so bummed. It's getting to be close to dusk now. We walk out. I am not joking. We walked 15 feet further.
They were right next to it.
Right across
the walkway from the Starbucks. So right after here, we're hearing
Starbucks.
There's no way. There's no way.
Is this little path? And I said, well, Bob, let's take this, because, you know, most of the others that we'd taken like that, we'd go in and then it'd lead us back out on something. I said, well, let's try this one. That was the path that took us into the tree. We got all the way up to it, excuse me, looking at the animals and everything. We got on the backside. There's waterfalls. We walked under the waterfalls.
Oh, wow.
There were benches over there.
Oh, no.
We sat down on the benches, literally looking up at this spectacular creation. And we sat there for a long time. The park's closed by now. Cast members are walking by smiling at us. Not, I kept thinking they're going to kick us out anytime now. I'm taking pictures in the different lighting. It was amazing. So that was our story about the Tree of Life, that you know, you can't get close to it. Everybody said no, but we actually found the path that got us right up to it. It was amazing.
Okay, sweets. So we got to go.
I was just going to go back. Now we know next time. Find the Starbucks and walk beyond the Starbucks.
And don't listen to them.
Yes. It's don't listen to the cast members.
That's right.
It's kind of like at Epcot where I asked if they had a circle vision there. And the lady said she'd never even heard of it. And what? 5 minutes later, they had the Circle Vision in Canada with Martin.
I was going to say, oh, Canada has that.
They only have like three of them. What, I mean, they have impressions to France, oh, Canada, and I believe the China one is as well.
Well, she was from the future part of the park.
I see.
But still, it was only a 5 minute walk because Canada is one of the first things that comes up when you get into the other countries of the world.
And I think that brings up something interesting that we noticed about the two parks, and maybe you guys did too, was the part about just how different the cast members are in their customer service.
Yes.
At Disneyland,
huge difference.
You know, they're passionate. They have stories about Disneyland, like they're like generational people that have been there and their grandfather used to work there or something. And yet when we were in Disney World, there was very little. It didn't look like there was a lot of
personal connection.
It was
half and half. Half of them reminded me of the people in Anaheim, and half of them, you'd ask them a question, they go, search me.
Yeah.
They didn't seem like
they
cared.
Very true.
Very different kind of decorum there.
Yeah, I found overall they weren't as personable. And they weren't as warm and as approachable as they are at Disneyland. And you're right. At Disneyland, you almost feel like most people seem, at least, if not personally invested, they seem more into it. They seem to know more about it.
I agree.
Whereas Orlando, I didn't really find that too much. I did find that Hollywood Studios had the ones closest to that at Disneyland.
Yeah, we found the best ones there.
In fact, that's where somebody finally explained to us. He said, even though both parks have the name Disney, they're really two different companies and they run completely differently. And so hearing that, it actually fell into place.
Yeah. It was really odd because I really feel like the Disneyland cast members are a cut above. Having spoken to cast members, also I felt that at Disneyland, they kind of search you out to ask you if you have any questions, where at Disney World, they kind of look the other way, like they'll let you pass by.
Yes, that's true.
Which I actually like. I don't like no, it when I like going
like
into a store. Exactly.
Until
I don't like
you're trying
going
to find something and there's no one to ask, because we were at Magic Kingdom and there's a statue of Roy Disney, with Minnie Mouse, and we couldn't find it. And there were no cast members for us to ask. Now, I don't know if we had asked one, they would know what we were talking about. But I can guarantee you, I go to Disneyland and ask for something like that, they knew exactly where it was.
Yes. Yep.
And it was really odd from park to park, you would have different interactions with cast members, because the best was definitely Hollywood Studios with their team members there, where I would say the worst that I've had was Epcot. I found their cast members... We're very
clueless about what was going in their own park. They didn't know what was going on.
They knew more about Europe than they knew about Disneyland.
Exactly.
Let me ask this. Did you guys wear the Just Married buttons?
We wore the anniversary buttons.
Yes.
Anniversary. Now when you go to Disneyland and you have any of those buttons on, a happy birthday one, whatever, they're like, hey, hello. Every time you walk on a ride, somebody says congratulations or happy birthday.
As if they've been told they'll be fired if they don't say that.
Which is probably true.
But we noticed in Orlando, it was a 50-50 on whether somebody would say anything. Did you guys notice that too or not?
I would say about 50-50.
But again, Hollywood Studios, they were the first ones to really say, oh, happy anniversary, or even ask a question. So how long have you been together?
Yeah.
Whereas Magic Kingdom, they might once in a while.
Maybe.
Epcot,
not
good luck.
So much. Yeah. So. Not at all at Epcot, I don't think.
Yeah.
And actually,
interesting.
I found at Hollywood Studios, some of them would actually go out of their way to come up to us and say happy anniversary. There were a couple people that would go away from their station, come up to us and say happy anniversary and do it that way. The only park that did that.
Yes, and we had that too. One guy left his station and walked us clear down the block to show us the fast pass thing, and then stayed with us for a while, helped us with it, and then gave us another like this wonderful, like, use anywhere, anytime fast pass just for the heck of it with his name on it.
Oh,
we got to just use. Yeah, so we experienced that same thing in Hollywood, too. But the buttons, I thought, was really telling because at Disneyland, they're so good at noticing and congratulating you.
A line forms.
Yes. Yeah. You feel like a special guest.
You do.
All right. We'll be returning back to the Bob Segal Show.
Yo, ho, yo, ho, a pirate's life for me. We extort, we pilfer, we filch and sack. Drink up, me hearties, yo, ho. Maraud and embezzle and even hijack. Drink up, me hearties, yo, ho. Yo, ho, yo, ho, a pirate's life for me.
This is Bob Segal. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Segal portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book? Back to the Bob Segal Show. And you just heard the commercial for Bob's book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Well, we have some exciting news to announce that on December 4th, a Friday evening from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, you can come to See Christ Books, a wonderful family bookstore in Lemon Grove. And Bob will be doing an author talk and a book signing, which is going to be very cool. He's actually going to share one of the chapters from the book, and there's nothing better than listening to Bob tell this chapter in his own voice the way he intended the book to be as he wrote it. He will also have a question-answer time, sign books, get together. So those of you in our radio audience, if you'd like to come meet Bob in person and just chat with him, please come and join us Friday, December 4th, 6 to 8. You don't have to stay there the whole time. You can just come and meet him and get a book and then enjoy the evening or stay with us either way. So See Christ Book in Lemon Grove, and we'll have more information on that. It's going to be an exciting evening. And now we are back to our discussion about Disneyland, Disney World, and what our favorite things were. And Nick and Lauren are joining us for this discussion today. Let's go back to, we were talking about some differences in the rides. We were just starting to kind of tip into that. So let's stay on that theme. And why don't we go into our rides now and talk about what were some of the favorite rides that we had as we were in the different parks?
Oh, man.
That's hard,
huh? So many.
Yeah, there's a lot.
The first one that comes to my mind is Spaceship Earth. That was an awesome ride. We actually ended up going on that three times.
Probably more than any other ride in the park and in the entire resort, actually.
And did you guys do the intense level or the not intense level?
No, that's not. You're thinking of the mission to space.
Okay, Spaceship Earth, what is the one you guys are talking about?
It's where you go through the history of time.
Yes. Oh, the one in the
one in the dome.
Inside the
Got
dome.
It. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We were not adventurous enough to do Mission Space.
Well, that other one was awesome.
Correction.
The husband wasn't adventurous enough. Let's be honest here.
Yeah. Why lie to the people?
Big man to admit that, Nick. That's awesome. Okay. So this is what that was cool. The history one, and then you can create your own future at the end.
Yes.
Okay.
Which we have those postcards. We decided to do a different one each time so we can see our faces put awkwardly on cartoon bodies. So that was fun.
That was fun. That was a good one.
I look great as a thin cartoon character. I don't know
from
about you.
From the future.
Yeah.
That was a really clever ride. There was it was interactive. That was really cool.
Yes, that was very good. You know, Ray Bradbury was directly involved with the creation of that ride.
No kidding.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
He had a hand in developing it. And he wrote the original script for the ride, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which might be why there's kind of a science fiction edge to it. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, that one is definitely on my list for sure. That one's way, 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 way up there. I'm a big fan of the Disney dark rides. I think they do better than anybody.
Agreed.
And
100%.
Yeah. And this one is tremendous because I loved it. Told a very cohesive story. I thought the audio animatronics and the scenes themselves were second to none, frankly. And I don't know. I also loved the little details when you go into, like, for example, the Alexandria scene when with all the crumbled buildings.
Yes.
You could smell the smoke.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was great. I mean, just the little details really set that apart from all the other rides. And yeah, I just really loved that one.
Okay, that one was a good one.
Yeah.
I thought about that. And what was the one that I liked? The space one?
Mission
Space.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. That one was cool because... So you guys didn't go on that one?
No. I wanted to. He was like, well, you can go by yourself. And I was like, well, maybe. And then at the time, it's the end of the day, and you're like, oh, I'm too tired. I want to go back to the hotel.
It was just Mars. You could have gone there by yourself.
What was cool.
How long does it take to go to Mars without your husband?
That's true.
It's all in a simulator, and they assign jobs to you, commander, pilot, all this stuff. And it's just the buildup to it is really cool. And then when you're going in and they're asking you, do you want the intense? I didn't even know what they were saying to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? Said, do you like roller coasters or don't you? Do you like intense? I'm like, oh yeah, give us the intense one.
Nice.
So we went in on the intense one. And then as we're listening to it, I'm like, oh, maybe I didn't choose the right thing. But then when we got in there, oh my gosh, it is amazing. And we went on it again. And it does actually leave you. It's probably good if you don't like things like that, Nick, to not do it, because we both for a little while after it were kind of feeling odd.
Right. Yeah, you get a little
you're
bit
kind of walking
vertigo
sideways
thing going
a little bit. It's really trippy,
that's
but
so make
a cool
sure you're
ride.
Taking your Dramamine before you go on. Yeah, good
exactly.
To know.
My brother went several years ago, and he loves those crazy roller coasters and, you know, Six Flags, that kind of stuff. He loves that stuff. And he told me that Mission Space was too much for him. So when Mr. Roller Coaster, my brother,
when
tells
he
me
says that,
that,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
You sure he didn't go on April Fool's Day? Because I'm telling you, if you can handle Star Tours, you can handle this.
It's, really? It's the, Are you sure you didn't go on the less intense version?
No.
No, he was with me.
No,
we
didn't go on that
ones.
Wuss version. We took the ride the way the good Lord intended it to be taken.
So you guys didn't go on the Chevy race one either then?
We did.
Okay,
we went on
so
that
what did you guys
times.
Think about that?
That was a lot
cool.
of fun.
That was great.
Like, Dana's designed car won every time, didn't it?
Nice.
Most of them. Most of the different aspects that they rate your car on, we did.
Oh, yeah. See, we were a good couple and we collaborated. We compromised.
Which our first car
yeah, but see, I know a lot more about cars
that.
Than
when it comes to the visual, when it comes to the visual arts, those are the That's kinds great. Of arts I'm not into. I just sat there, anything you want, honey. You design any car you want.
My competitiveness came out. But it was fun. Okay, So those were some of the rides. What else did we really like?
My favorite ride, even though my favorite theme park was Epcot, my favorite rides and actually both of my favorite attractions were at Disney Hollywood. One of them was the Great Movie Ride. I guess we'll talk more about that when we come back. But the Great Movie Ride was so creative. And if you love movies and you love Disney, it's a perfect combination. We'll be right back.
Got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've more. You want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. I want to be where the people are. I want to see.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching of nationally famous speaker Pastor Jim Garlow. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jim, Cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jim, Cheroo. Good luck, we're a buff when I shake hands with you. Or blow me a kiss. And that's lucky too.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. It's so much fun hearing the Disney theme movies. And that's another reason we just love Nick, because he's the one that pulled all of those songs for us and did that. So thank you, Nick. You're amazing. And that leads us. That's actually perfect, because if you'd gone on the ride that Bob was just talking about, this is a part of that ride. So, Bob, tell us about the movie ride.
Well, they replicated Grauman's Chinese Theater. And when you see the footprints, they're not even replications. They're, a lot of actors really came out and made honest to goodness new footprints. Sure, you see one of Goofy and Mickey too, but there's real actors' footprints there. I believe, would you say it was to scale of Grauman's Chinese, the theater itself? I wasn't sure if it was a little smaller, but it almost looked to scale to me.
I think it was a little smaller, but Disney is so good at their eye tricks. Yeah. I think it kind of made it look.
And inside, and I should say, Disney World did a much better job with lines. The lines to get on, they gave you things to do. On our other show about Disneyland that we did a couple of years ago, one of the things we talked about is they need to give it creative things to do in line. It may be that they just had more indoor, because when they built this, they said, who's going to wait for an hour in this heat and humidity and think we're going to stay open?
That's part of it.
That might have had some, but inside you're seeing movie documentaries. So you're seeing a lot of your favorite movies while you're waiting in line, and they have posters appearing and reappearing on the walls. I was mentioning before we went on the air that I'm a movie collector. I love seeing the original posters, the original marquees of movies. But the ride itself was fabulous. When we first got on, I told Dana that I found the tour guide obnoxious. And yet, as the ride continues, you start out going through Musical Land. And then when you get into Gangster Land, they have a gangster actually hold you up. Now, on other versions of the ride, because we did it more than once, you didn't get held up in Gangster Land. And you got held up in the Old West. And an Old West person came.
We didn't get that at all. We got both times. We got the gangsters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they have different versions.
Okay,
now we definitely got to go back.
And then, eventually you go through the Indiana Jones part, and you go through the supernatural thriller part, and then the gangster goes up and starts pulling the jewel out of the eye of some ancient deity, and you hear the, what's the guy's name that hosts the AMC?
Robert Osborne.
Brett Osborne, great voice. I love watching his things on AMC for the movie. And while the robber's walking up to steal the jewel, he goes, when you steal a jewel in a movie and you're going into the horror section, it's just never a good idea. And all of a sudden the guy fries. I know I'm kind of giving it away. I didn't give it away. I told Nick to write it. I held my tongue and didn't give it away to him. Just giving it away to the rest of you. Then you go through there, and you're in the land of Oz. You're in Munchkin Land, and it's almost to scale. And you're just, oh my gosh, I loved everything about that ride. The other thing is, one of my favorite parts of Disneyland is when I go to the Abe Lincoln exhibit. I'm not in a hurry. I love the Abe Lincoln thing, but I'm not in a hurry to get there, because they have a little museum. Well, here they have a big museum, and you're walking through the halls of Walt Disney's life, and
then you see
a movie about his life, and he's such an amazingly creative person, and no matter what he did, he broke new ground. He was constantly working on something else. They told him he'd lose his shirt with Snow White because nobody's going to sit through a feature-length cartoon.
Right.
They told him he'd lose his shirt with Disneyland. At times, he almost did lose his shirt because he made Snow White and then he made Pinocchio, and that wasn't as big of a box office, but he stayed with it. And I mean, the man died in his 60s.
Yeah.
But the things he accomplished would be 100 lifetimes for somebody else. What a testimony to creativity.
What people don't understand is that that company, during his lifetime, was very rarely making a profit, because he would automatically, whenever something would make a profit, he would take that money and put it in somewhere else.
New idea. Yeah.
Exactly. So he very rarely made that. It really until the 50s, when he had his hands in so many pots of honey, when he had Disneyland, he had TV, he had the movies, he got the Europe market back because that was cut off from him due to World War II. When he got all that, then finally they started making a lot of profit. But before that, yeah, they were usually on his poor brother.
Yes, Roy.
Yeah.
The accountant helper business end. Yeah.
Yeah, that poor guy. But you know what? We went through Walt Disney One Man's Dream too. And unfortunately, when we got there, the movie was replaced by a preview for The Good Dinosaur.
Yes.
And so we couldn't see the movie.
Yeah. You are kidding me.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Oh, and the movie had things in it that I'd never heard before, Nick, and you're such a buff like that.
Maybe Walt Disney put creativity above profits, but Disney, as it is today, puts profits over creativity, and that is
depressing. The
movie was
very, very cool.
I take it as that's our trade-off for having the Osborne Family lights.
Yes.
Okay,
we need to talk about those lights.
It was amazing. Anything we did, that was my favorite thing.
It would have been our favorite thing. We got to see them putting them up.
Got
to come back in November. Oh, well, we see we live in California. We won't be back in November.
Just for those of you listening, so you know what we're talking about. In Arkansas, for many years, there was a family that covered their house in lights as a request from their daughter when she was very young, and they did that. They even started spilling over into the neighborhood, and then it got to be a lawsuit issue, and that was ruled that they couldn't do it. Disney World got wind of it. They said, hey, we'd like to take over the lights, and they brought them to Hollywood Studios. It's been there for a couple of decades now, and they've been lighting up the back lot portion of Hollywood Studios now for 20 years.
Yep.
And we had never heard of it till we got there. So literally Bob and I are looking at just inch by inch lights covering this studio.
And it was the most creative part of the park anyway, because you're walking through back lots of New York City. But to see that they were going to have these spectacular Christmas lights made it even more
worthwhile. So we learned about it. We could see it. We could see the structures. We could see all of the layouts of all the designs, but they were not going to light until November. And we knew that Nick and Lauren were going. So we're like, you guys have to go see it. Yeah. So it was as grand as we thought it would have been.
They're so spoiled. Like, I don't know if there's another Christmas light display in the world that I can see measure up to that. There's lights everywhere, and it's like you're in a circle of Christmas lights everywhere. It's fantastic.
And so
they jump
audience,
around to music too.
For our people that think they're going to go there someday, which one of us four wants to give them the news about those lights?
I'll do it. You don't hear my voice very often anyway, so this is the last year for the Osborne Family lights. I know. And I'm just so glad we were able to do it.
I'm glad
this
too.
Is our only
I feel
chance
better
to do
than
it.
At least you guys got to see it.
You
for
live
us.
Vicariously through us.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was absolutely amazing. There was I would say about the entire section of Streets of America, which is one of the bigger areas, just covered from front to back, up and down lights. There was music going off, and every once in a while there a song would come up and the lights would be in sync with the music.
Yes.
Absolutely mind blowing.
They are taking them down. Why?
Because of Star Wars Land.
Yes.
If you're not annoyed by Star Wars being everywhere right now,
they're taking this away.
And look, Nick, you're a Star Wars fan.
Yes.
I'm a big Star Wars fan.
And so is she.
I would be willing to not have the next Star Wars movie come out and thus not have to be merchandised to keep those lights. And here.
Yeah.
It's the whole Thunder Ranch, the most enchanted part of Disneyland.
Our favorite restaurant is going.
They still have forests. They still have waterfalls. The only good deal for food you could get, and that's because of it's making me I walked up to one of the guys. I said, someday it's going to just be Disney's Frozen Adventure and Disney's Star Wars Adventure. And that's all you guys are going to offer us.
Right. They're going to take a part of Rivers of America out. They're going to reroute the Rivers
You're
of
kidding.
America and the Mark Twain and the Columbia. They're going to reroute it because they're going to build over a little bit, but actually not even a little, just a good portion of it for Star Wars land.
So I'm really not happy now.
If they really want to rub it in, instead of Disney characters, we'll be seeing Jar Jar Binks walking around.
Oh, no.
Welcome, sir, to the
Misa. Misa loves Star Wars land.
Well, back to the Osborne family lights online, there's a strong voice asking, pleading for those lights to come over to Disney California Adventure.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
They have plenty of room in Hollywood land. They could absolutely get rid of that Alice in Wonderland stuff they have.
I would love that.
And do that there.
Disney's got enough swampland to build 4 more theme parks. Why don't they just build Disney's Christmas land?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Well,
they did have Holiday Land.
Because they'd have to build Disney's ACLU land also.
Okay, so we're going to have to go online and light. So everybody out there, go online and tell them to bring the lights to California.
And while you're at it, tell them to transfer the Thunder Ranch barbecue to California Adventure.
Make that a land.
Let's get that California Adventure working for us for change.
There we go. Okay. All right, we'll be right back.
Tale as old as time, as it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change.
This is Bob Siegel. Look, I admit it, I'm not tech savvy at all, but at least I'm savvy enough to know how to keep technology working for me. Even as a writer and radio talk show host, two careers far more related to the arts than the sciences, I am on my computer all day long. That means I need a computer that behaves itself. So when I do encounter problems, I call BitLogic. BitLogic can repair your personal computer. They also offer IT consulting for your small business. Is your computer doing something weird that you couldn't even begin to describe, let alone fix? Or maybe you're looking ahead, wanting to keep your small business systems running smoothly. BitLogic can help. Find them online at bitlogicit.com or call them at 619-333-6873. That's bitlogicit.com or 619-333-6873. Right now, mention the Bob Siegel Show and receive a 10% discount off any service. Got complex problems? BitLogic has simple solutions. How's that for making the obvious obvious?
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. We are in the last segment of our show today. We have been enjoying reliving our travels to Disney World and Disneyland, Disney World, both very magical places. And it's been really fun being here tonight talking about that. And we're going to finish up this segment by talking about comparing rides that are the same ride but are in different parks and how they're different. And like I'm the one that comes to mind for me just out of the quick shot would be Small World because Small World here in California, the front is just an amazing thing to look at.
That's one of Disneyland's wow moments.
It is. And then what they do with it during the holiday times and
extra wow.
Christmas, amazing. You can just sit there and just, it's so creative. So Disney to take one thing and make it into something else and make it a showpiece.
It's a Mary Blair painting come to life.
Yes, it is.
Exactly. Love I love what they do with Small World and just the walk up when you see the Small World. And the Small World in Disney World is so disappointing when you walk
in. It's a smaller world after all.
No kidding, man.
It doesn't even look like Small World. And you think when you go in, you'd at least see pieces of our Small World the way we know it. But it's just mostly like a concrete walk up. I feel like I'm walking into a public pool. It was the weirdest thing.
And it wasn't as inviting.
No, it wasn't. It was very disappointing. And then in the ride, I am certain they do not have as many dolls and displays of all that. Ours is just full compared to the one back there. Anyway, so that was mine. Just like, wow, those are really different.
I'll make mine quick. Pirates of the Caribbean. Compared to ours, it's twice the queue line and half the ride.
Yes.
That's it.
And it sucks raw eggs with two straws out there. And
I absolutely agree.
Fantastic ride. You don't see the treasure. You don't do the Louisiana Bayou. Yep. Now, maybe it's because they live near the real Louisiana. But then how do they explain California Adventure in California? So I didn't get Pirates.
For me, the Haunted Mansion, I actually liked their Haunted Mansion more than ours, and I love ours.
Oh, the staircase
scene.
But there's a staircase scene,
a library scene, and I was like, when I first went on there, felt like it was the first time I was ever at Haunted Mansion, because I was like, oh my gosh, what are these stairs? That was so cool, and you would see footprints go up and down these stairs that go up and down every way. I really loved their Haunted Mansion over there.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Now, I kept hearing from everybody, you won't like Magic Kingdom as well as Disneyland. Epcot's better. Now, it depends. See, I would have to say that if we're comparing rides, I agree with that. Definitely the rides at Disneyland are better than the rides at Magic Kingdom. However, since what I like about Disneyland is decorum, since what I like is stepping into another world, at Magic Kingdom, you have to take the monorail or a boat and cross water just to get to it.
That's very cool.
The castle, as Lauren already said, absolutely magnificent. Fantasyland was bigger. Now, the Little Mermaid is exactly the same ride, but the walk to get on Little Mermaid in Fantasyland, fantastic. I like the walk to get on. There's waterfalls and seascapes, and it's just incredible. Whereas in California Adventure, it was just replacing some theater that showed a Whoopi Goldberg documentary.
So
there wasn't much they could do outside.
A little shellfish in the thing,
I also loved the Hall of Presidents.
The Hall of Presidents.
Some presidents I like more than others, but I loved the Hall of Presidents. I also loved they had something like the Hall of Presidents. I forgot what they called it, but it was called Liberty Square, I liked.
Liberty Square was great.
And they had Ben Franklin and Mark Twain narrating an exhibit. I thought that was fantastic.
I love New Orleans Square. That's, in fact, my favorite land at Disneyland. That's one of my lands I just love to just walk around and just take in more than any of the others. That said, Liberty Square was fantastic.
I don't know
if I like it better than New Orleans Square. I think my emotional ties to that kind of puts it over, but... Oh, Liberty Square was great.
It really was.
And here's something that gives a little thumbs up to Disney World. Some of our favorite rides that got retired out here.
Yes.
Disney World is kind of like Disney Heaven. We went to the Big Bear Jamboree.
The People Mover was there.
And Carousel of Progress.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
And the song, The Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. And of course, it wasn't the same Circle Vision, but they had a Circle Vision thing. Yes.
That was a trip.
And there's more land. And one thing that helps me get over my being depressed about the Thunder Ranch area being removed is there is so much open country that they still have there.
Oh, I gotta bring that. Gotta bring that real quick. The streets so much more open.
Much
wider.
Yes.
You never feel as crowded
and
as you do at Disney.
And you're not trapped every time they have a parade.
Yes.
There, so.
And their lines are wider for waiting. They're a lot bigger than ours. We're
Now we didn't plan it this way, but it's Thanksgiving week. Dana and I are going to Disneyland tomorrow. Nick and Lauren are going to Disneyland on Tuesday. Maybe we'll. Yep. It's kind of like. Nick Lane, Lauren, you just returned from your honeymoon at Disney World. What are you going to do now?
We're going to Disneyland!
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.